Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 171. In the news this week, I just wanted to let everybody know that episode number 3, The Mason's Master of the Masonic Radio Theater, has come out. It is a rather hilarious episode full of puns. Puns and more puns. It is actually a really funny episode. The radio hissing and popping was a little bit loud in the first release of it, so if you tried to give it a go, like in the first day or so, and you just couldn't do it, please go back and try again. I did re-upload the audio file, and the hissing and popping is brought down dramatically. It's still there for effect, and you can hear it just fine. However, it is not overwhelming. So please go check that out. It is a really funny episode. Secondly, I wanted to mention, a few days ago, I had a fundraiser. We sold lapel pins, tie bars, and cufflink sets. Now, if you're listening to this on Monday and you just ordered a couple days ago, you're going to be getting them in the mail very soon. I just finished up addressing all the envelopes and getting everything stuffed in the packages, and I should be mailing those out by Monday, so just shortly after this episode is released, actually. I came out of this with a tremendous sense of gratitude. You guys sold out of these things in just a couple days, and granted, there was a very limited quantity available, but you guys really took it to the next level, and I appreciate everything you guys have done and helped me raise money for this show. Those funds have been raised, and with those funds, I am hoping to fund this show as well as possibly offer another run of pins, maybe not so much on the limited side this time. So we'll keep you informed as to how that goes. I will not be reissuing the pin design that we just sold. That was extremely limited edition. It was designed by Brother Juan Sepulveda with the help of imagination and getting a pin design done of that original logo by Brother Jason Richards. And they did such a fantastic job that the people who did get this pin are very lucky. Again, there was only 18 lapel pins to be had. There was 18 tie bars and about 18 cufflink sets. So if you can imagine, it's not a whole lot. 54 sets went out, really. If you were one of those people who got something, great, fantastic. We shipped internationally. I just want to say thanks again for making it happen, guys. Thank you. So the first piece for the week is called Now is the Hour, and it's by Charles R. Glasmire. It was a short talk bulletin based upon an address given by the most worshipful Brother Charles R. Glasmire, past Grand Master of Maine, at the semi-annual Communications of the Grand Lodge of New Hampshire in November of 1976. And we thank Brother Glasmire, who is the editor of the Maine Mason, for sharing this with us. So, without any further delay, I will read this paper. We are always thinking in Masonry about the word building. We are told that Masons are builders. Yet, how often do we ever stop and think of the true meaning of this word? We should consider it under four headings. First, we must consider the building of a vast universe, that product of the grand architect of the universe, that inestimable gift of God to man, that structure which we use every day, but seldom do we stop to appreciate it and to give thanks. Some time ago, a group of us stood atop Mount Blanc at an altitude of 15,000 feet, viewing the majestic Alps. The beautiful fertile valley lay below us, with glaciers above. It was very easy to be awestruck, to close your eyes and to give prayer of thanks to Almighty God. How often in our own communities do we ever look around us and give thanks for the things that do not have actual physical beauty and yet see beneath them the handiwork of the great architect of the universe? Yes, even sometimes in things which are actually ugly to the sight. Who can look at the town drunk, for instance, and see in him a work of God? Yes, it's a work of God, but a neglect of man, and perhaps we are largely responsible for much of this neglect. We pass him day by day, lying in the gutter, when perhaps by stretching forth a helping hand, giving a pat on the back or a word of encouragement, we might help that man to achieve his rightful place in society, all to the glory of God. It's up to us to help make this universe the place that he intended it to be. Secondly, if we are thinking in terms of building, we must think in terms of the fact that man is a builder, and from the day of his birth, he is constantly engaged in the building of his own personality and his own character. Every day we have the opportunity to do things which will make us better individuals, but so many times we neglect it. There is an old saying which says, quote, "When man needs not nor sows, most abundantly grows. This, of course, in one connection, refers to the weeds in the neglected garden behind the house, but think for a moment of the neglect which permits those weeds to grow inside the mind and the character of each and every one of us. Before long, just as the beautiful flowers are destroyed by the weeds in the garden, so is the great mind which is potentially there destroyed by the weeds of neglect. A little poem says it better. Of all that I hear and see, day by day, I am building me. I alone have the right to choose what to reject and what to use. Nobody's workmanship but mine can keep the structure true and fine, strong or feeble, false or true. I build myself by the deeds I do. Yes, brethren, remember, we are saved not by what we think, but what we are. Day by day, we build ourselves by the deeds we do. Next, if we are going to consider man as a builder, we must appreciate the fact that man is also commissioned to build an ideal social structure, and masons must qualify as living stones for that structure. If it is going to be the society it can be, we have another great responsibility as masons. We tell the world that, as masons, we take good men and make them better. Are we really doing this today in masonry? How many times have we had an unpleasant experience of raising a brother from the altar and having him go out the door and never seeing him again? Statistically, 1 out of 3 of the brethren that are raised at the altar will leave that night and never come back. Why? The answer is obvious and perhaps falls into 2 categories. First of all, we have lost the opportunity by failing to impress upon him the beauties of Freemasonry. We have perhaps done the work in a slipshod fashion. Officers have mumbled the words which have been poorly memorized, and the brother gets very little from it. He sees nothing that you and I have seen as we have gone through Masonry, of the things which bring us back. Secondly, so many times the man's dignity is insulted. How often have we unfortunately seen a man literally ridiculed for the amusement of some of the brethren on the sidelines? We tell a man to kneel at the altar and to pray to Almighty God, and then tell him to arise, follow the conductor, and fear no danger, only at a later date to have him treated in such a manner that he can't see the bounties because of the lack of dignity. We are told that of those who do come back, another third are gone within a year. Once again, the opportunity is lost. No man becomes a Mason simply by taking 3 degrees any more than man becomes a Christian simply by joining a church. It requires work. It requires work on his part, and it requires work on our part. First, to impart the knowledge to him, and secondly, to give him a job to do. Only if he is kept busy will he return, as you and I have done. Yes, we can take good men and make them better, and we have the tools with which to work right there on the altar. That great American poet, Brother Edwin Markham, put it in the verse this way: "We are blind until we see that, in the human plan, nothing is worth the making if it does not make the man. Why build these cities glorious if man unbuilded goes? In vain we build the work unless the builder also grows." Lastly, my brethren, as we speak in terms of building, we must appreciate the fact that from the moment we are born until the day we die, we are constantly engaged in the building of that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many of us go through life consciously building that house? As young men, we're immortal. No young man ever thinks of the possibility of dying. It's only when he gets older, when we get older, that we realize that we cannot expect an exception from the common fate of man. But sometimes by the time that realization comes, it's too late, and we have not begun, let alone finished, the building of that house not made with hands. I suggest to you that if you have not started building it yet, now is the hour. We are very fortunate to have religion to assist us in this, and I don't mean necessarily the membership in any particular church or sect. I'm thinking in terms of the definition of religion, which says, quote-unquote, "Religion is the life of God in the soul of man." We have the power to reach God in prayer, and yet most of us waste that power. I suspect that 90% of all the prayers that are wafted heavenward are never heard because they are simply repetition of the gimmies. Gimme this, gimme that, gimme. Gimme something else. When really, what we should be praying for is the strength and the character to carry on in daily life, working for those things which are pleasing in His sight, as we build our own house, not made with hands. Oh, it's a pretty tough world as we look around. Many times we come home discouraged by what we see, war and pestilence on the one hand, dishonesty and high places on the other. We may get into bed at night and with all these things around us find it very difficult to sleep. Unfortunately, too many people in this culture are turning to drugs. There's no answer here. Drugs may provide a small portion of oblivion, but later the problem is still there. Other people say if you come home at night and get into bed and can't sleep, that you should count sheep. I don't believe this works either. No, brethren. If you come home at night, get into bed and cannot sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. In the meeting notice of a lodge in one of the western jurisdictions, we recently saw an item which sums it up nicely. Quote, a favorite pastime with many people, especially women, is rearranging furniture. Don't you think it's about time we, the human race, get busy and rearrange our mental furniture? Well, I do, and I think we had better do it real fast. First of all, we should take everything from the walls of the mind, then we should sweep the floor and scrub it so it will be clean. Next, we ought to change our thoughts. Let us move the hatred table into the love corner, the sinful dresser behind the door of forgiveness, and the beds of prejudice by the wall of kindness. After this is done, we can lie down and rest with a clean mind and life. Brother Builders, now is the hour. All right, I hope you enjoyed that one. Next is the part of the show where I ask you to support the show. You can do that three main ways, through the applications, through shopping, or through PayPal. The applications are available on Android, Apple, and Windows phones or mobile devices. What they give you is access to the papers that we read on this show, Masonic wallpapers for your mobile device, and on some occasions, even more, like videos. Shopping? Well, if you go to onnit.com and you enjoy some healthy living supplements or workout equipment, CrossFit, that kind of thing, check out onnit.com and use the promo code WCY when you check out. Secondly, there you have another outlet for shopping, freemasonryart.com. Tremendous works of art done by our own brother Juan Sepulveda from the Masonic Roundtable and the Windings Theirs podcast. An amazing artist. You owe it to yourself to check it out. If you see something that you like, please go ahead and purchase it. If you use the coupon code WCY, you'll get 10% off and a little bit comes back to us here at this show. Thirdly, we have the PayPal direct donation. You pick the amount, whether a dollar or $2, it really helps out. So for this week's famous Freemason, I had heard rumors of this a long time ago and it blew up on social media. I think there was even a post about it on the Midnight Freemasons, and I thought that these rumors had been discounted. However, they actually have not. So what I want to do for you is read you just a quick portion of illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison's new book called Tales from the Craft. If you haven't had a chance to pick this book up, it's only a couple dollars. I really urge you to pick it up. I'm going to read you the whole entry. And if you like this, then trust me, you will love the book because it is full of these 1- and 2-page stories. And so this one, you are going to guess who the famous Freemason is just from the title of this chapter. And the chapter is called Brother King. In 1999, most worshipful brother Benjamin P. Barksdale, Grand Master of Prince Hall Freemasonry in Georgia, posthumously made Dr. Martin Luther King a Mason at sight. Now, this was the original rumor. I'm breaking away from the book here for just a moment. And when we looked at it, all over the media, all over the internet said that that can't happen. Or what would be the basis for that? Had he ever shown interest in the fraternity? Let's read on. The action was not without controversy, since it is one of the few instances, if not the only one, of declaring a man a Mason after his death. Dr. King's widow, Coretta Scott King, accepted the honor on his behalf of her late husband. Prince Hall documentation indicates Grandmaster X.L. Neal had arranged for Dr. King to become a Freemason upon his return from Atlanta in 1968, an act which was prevented by Dr. King's assassination. So there you have it. He had plans to become a Mason, and it sounds in this instance that they simply carried on what he intended to do. So, this week's famous Freemason has been Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at WhenceCameU. You can check us out on Google+, at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can email me anytime you like at that email address or at admin@wcypodcast.com. Please don't forget to check out the Midnight Freemasons coming at you 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Check out the Masonic Roundtable Tuesday nights at 10, 9 Central. I think you guys are really going to enjoy some of the topics we've got coming up. Please don't forget about the Masonic Radio Theater. If you haven't listened to any of those episodes, I guarantee you're going to want to check them out. We go from drama, noir detective, to comedy. I'm writing a Western right now. It's going to be fantastic. I really hope you guys all like it. And we've got a special treat going on with the Western episode that I'm writing right now. I've got some special people on the line who are going to voice that episode for us. And I think for a lot of you, those people are going to sound familiar. And they're not Midnight Freemasons. and they're not from the Masonic Roundtable, so you'll just have to wait and listen. Again, if you want to go ahead and check out the bookstore on WCYpodcast.com and check out Brother Steve Harrison's book, Tales from the Craft, I really can't recommend it enough. So check that out. Any of the books there on the bookstore, in fact, are all friends and brothers of this show. So check it out. Don't forget to check out fellowcrafted.com, pens by Brian Ibichin, who is the brother who made our lapel pens and cufflink sale possible. Huge thanks goes out to Brother Brian Ibichin of fellowcrafted.com. Also, I want to send out a huge thank you to Brother John Paul Gomez. Your products are always amazing, and if you guys like them, please go to his website and subscribe to his email newsletter and follow the page on Facebook. Click on the follow button for his page so that you actually see his updates. And that's it, guys. Talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. For Wentz Camus, I'm Robert Johnson.